Hi, I'm Karen. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, I'm Karen.
Oh, I can see all these smiling faces. Wow. Say what? Where am I? Push it away.
Is this good?
Right here? Is that good? Push it away?
No.
Okay. That took about 4 minutes, right? I'm good. Oh, gosh. Okay. I am grateful to be here. I am very grateful to be in recovery today. I've got a wonderful family, extended family here, and all you guys. I see a lot of people as I know, and I'm very blessed. I'm very, very blessed recovering alcoholic today. So I'm going to share a little bit of experience, strength, and hope, and what happened, what it was like, and what it's like now. What it was like was... I was the fifth child. I'm not going to stay there for a long time. I was the fifth child of an alcoholic family. We were wealthy growing up back east in upstate New York. And the only reason I say that is because it hits everybody. It's, you know, it doesn't take advantage of the poor people. It takes wealthy, little, tall, skinny, whatever. And both my parents were alcoholics. We were raised in a little town with six cops. Four of them were busted for growing pot and bust dye. You know, I mean, we had the volunteer fire department, the whole nine yards. So, real quick, I wanted to say, Natalie, I'm really glad you're here. Nick and Mark, welcome. I'm really glad you guys are here. And Nick, where'd you go? I'm really impressed that you got up here. That is awesome. You did a great job. I'm really impressed. And Claire, 90 days. Good for you. Anyways, back to this. Small town. So the only thing we thought about doing was drinking. My parents gave elaborate parties. You know, we were of the staying up with the Joneses kind of thing. So we had the rented, you know, musicians, the bass player and the piano player, and, you know, and it was all very elaborate and looked really good. And I was the one that would follow behind, you know, whoever left half a drink around, which was most everybody, and I didn't understand it then, and I was only like 9 or 10. So, you know, so it happened really quick. I didn't really have my first experience with alcohol until I was like, I think I was 13. If I've said differently before, I'm sorry, but, you know, if you have a problem with that, take it up with your sponsor. But, you know, I really think I was 13 or 15, I'm not sure. Anyways, but I got, my brother was having a poker party, and I wanted to play poker and be part of the gang, so I took a beer, put it in a, put a whole beer, and my mom drank CC, so I thought I'd just pour the CC in with the beer, not knowing it was a Boilermaker. So I drank that down with a straw, because they said if you do it with a straw... I've always been into punishment, obviously, from the start. So I drank that, and I had a great time, and then at the end of the night was horrible. I threw up everywhere, and my brother's friends took care of me then, and they did throughout my, you know, childhood drinking career. Through high school, I would drink on the weekends with my friends starting in my freshman year, and that's what we did, you know. We drank. I would go around and take theirs because it wasn't enough. I was shy. I really was. And I would drink schnapps, you know, that wonderful, oh, God. And peach schnapps, no? Oh, God. Yeah, I know how to smell it. I just like, oh. But I would drink that stuff, and I'd pass out on the lawn, and they'd try and help me into the house. And I'd be kicking them, leave me out here, and it'd be raining, and I'd be out there on the lawn, passed out. I was very, very elegant flower, yeah. Yeah. Whew. God. So anyway, so after high school, because I only have five more minutes, right? Okay. After high school, went on to college. The only thing I did with college was rack up some bills and party. I majored in partying. That was about it. So I really threw it away, you know. I had some things happen to me when I was younger. I was raped when I was 15. And after that, it was like I let... the world pay for that. It was always what you had done to me from then on, right? So after going off to college and ruining that, then I came out to, actually I went to Illinois for a year and then went to college and then came out to San Diego. And no, that's not right either. Went to Illinois, I'm looking right at my husband, so I'm like, I know he knows the story. Okay, went to Illinois, then San Diego for my last year, and then went to college, and I came back to San Diego. Anyways, that was the year that San Diego was doing so well, the Chargers. Go Chargers. But it rained for like 2 weeks straight. I remember that was about it. But the party was on. That's all we did was party. When I was 26, I had my son, who died at 3 months old, from an open heart, or from a hole in his heart, and from alcohol syndrome. This started really early for me, and by the time I was 21, I was in my first rehab, and that was university. It's not even there anymore. Anyways, from there, I went to, actually went to Campo when there were still women. There was women out at Campo. I got there, and I'm on the alumni list, and they're like, women didn't come here. Yes, Campo, women went to Campo a long, long time ago. Every place I took something, but I always had that feeling that I was going to do it differently. Something about, I was different, you guys were great, love you, but... I was going to be able to drink like a normal person. This went on for many, many years, many different rehabs. I just never surrendered, and I always thought that somebody owed me. My father was never really in my life, and that was a big part of my first husband was like my father. He was 17 years my senior, and that was not a lot of fun at all. But that's why I married him, because I thought he was, you know, secure. And he was an AA. I met him in AA. I met him at down in at Law on Law Street, down at the alumni down there, or whatever that is. And it was when they were still smoking, so we were sharing an ashtray. And it was like we were, you know, match made in heaven then. If he had, you know, he smoked too, so I thought, you know, this was it. And I had no place to stay. He asked me if I could use the, if I needed the couch, and so we were together for the next 11, 13 years, something like that. So married him. It was horrible. He was a untreated alcoholic. He was dry and very angry at the world. And we had during that time he wanted me to get pregnant. We found out he had cancer, and that didn't happen. But to back up a little bit, when I was 23, my father passed away, and he wasn't really in my life like I had said. So when he passed away, it was just another reason to drink, another reason to party. When I was 33, my mother passed away, and she was my bestest friend. I just loved her to death. She was just my world. But another reason to you know, keep drinking or fight to you know. It was all about me again, you know. Never surrendered to this. I've tried it over and over again. Well, finally, in 96, I got 7 years, and then decided that I was going to go back out again, because if I had heard that guy say the same thing on the Friday night that I knew he was going to, then I wasn't going to go back to that meeting, which led to me not going back to that meeting, because I knew he was going to, and he did, and I didn't. And, you know, it's just the way it was. Yeah, it's just, you know, I just knew that's what I was going to do, because I still wanted to drink, and there was some, and the reason why was because I didn't surrender. I never surrendered. I never let go of the selfishness, the self-centeredness, the it's all about me, and until this last time. And my other husband passed away, and I was a widow for 9 years and had one blind date in between, and then here comes my wonderful husband, and somehow now we have a 3.5-year-old. So he got through the walls somehow, and I'm so, so blessed for that. We have a wonderful, wonderful family. I'm just so, so grateful. I was standing out by the car tonight, and my husband backed out, and I was waiting, and I was like, okay, I'm dressed. I'm showered. I have my hair done. I have makeup on. You know, he's looking handsome, and he's in the car. The baby's clean. She's in the car. I have decorations for Halloween up. I mean, I'm a sober mom. You know, I'm a sober mom. I'm just, you know, it's things like that. I'm just so excited. I just love this program. I 2.5 years ago, Amy, God loved you. I love you. I love you. That's my sponsor. She's it was a total God thing how I got here. Again, you know, he took care of me all those years. But you know, I mean, like today we were at Walmart, and the one lady, we come into the garden center, my little girl and I, and we frequent Walmart, you know, not all the time, but it's, you know, we do. I mean, the one place they said, "Where'd you go today?" My daughter always says, "Walmart," you know, but it's not always true. Anyways, so today we were walking, and the lady at the register, she looks at me, she goes, "I've been thinking about you guys." And I was like, "Oh, I've seen her, I recognized her, but I couldn't, you know," I was like, I didn't know we were buddies. She goes, "There's something about you and your little girl." And she's just so beautiful. I'm like, "Oh, I know, thank you." No. She is. She's my baby. She's my miracle. 2.5 years ago, and a week, I have my extended family in my life, and who are my child's godparents, just Paul and Sherry. And Paul's my husband's sponsor, and it just all happened the way it was supposed to. Her godmother and I were going down to It's a Wonderful Life, is that what it is? Something like that. It was all about the speaking thing, about, you know, how you do a secret and all that stuff. You guys remember all that stuff that was going down there about 2.5 years ago? Anyways, we went down there, and I went out to have a cigarette. I was still smoking at the time. And I went out to have a cigarette, came back in, and I wasn't allowed to come back in. You couldn't go back in if you'd already gone in once. And I was like, but I have to. I mean, I'm supposed to meet somebody anyway. So I went in and around to another door and tried to cry to them. I'd already been drinking at this time, okay? This is my last relapse that I'm trying to tell you about. And so finally, this one guy says, here's a VIP. He gave me a $1,000 VIP thing. Ticket for me to go down where they had free booze and free massage and all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah. So I went down, right? I was like, I went up to see Sherry. Sorry, but I have to go down here. So it was fun, you know? So anyway, so I go down and I kept drinking and I met all these, you know, popular people, newscasters, things like that. And the one thing that's been holding me back was the death of my son. I felt very, very guilty for that, and I never dealt with it, and that's a big part of what was holding me back through that. It's the Jenna Druck Foundation that was there. It was about parents losing their children. What happened was, it was all a God thing, because I was able to be put in front of these people. I eventually went to counseling with them. It was all free. Went to counseling with them, dealt with that, got through with that. After I got sober, right away I was willing to get up at 6 in the morning and go to a wonderful meeting called the Eye Opener in Santee, and that's where I met my sponsor, Amy. It's all a God thing. I know my time's almost up, but wait, once you get up here, it's not too bad. You know, you keep going. It's like, so. You know, but I just love AA. I just love AA, and I didn't always just love AA. The thing is that it's a total God thing. I have God in my life. I have a wonderful husband and daughter. My sponsor was able to talk to me the way that I needed to hear what I had heard before but didn't hear. I had been told before some of the things, exact same things she told me or suggested or whatever, but the way she said it, I finally heard it. So I surrendered. I no longer do the poor me, the what about me, feeling sorry for myself. When I get in that feeling sorry for me, when I get in any of that, that's when I know, hey, I need a meeting, I need to call somebody, I need to tell somebody my secrets. When I hold on to a secret like that, I'm in trouble. I'm going back out. That's all there is to it. I don't want to go back out again, one day at a time. I'm not going to say I will not, because it's all up to my ism. As long as I keep it spiritually fit today, I will not go back out. And I don't want to. I have a wonderful life, and I love you all. And I love all the smiles. This is great. I really wish I could go on, but I can't. I think that's my time. I just have one more thing to tell you, and one more. I heard this today. You know how we do this serenity prayer? This is called the senility prayer. You want to hear it? I don't know if you guys, you want to? Okay, it says, God, grant me the senility to forget the people I never liked, the good fortune to run into the ones I do, and the eyesight to tell the difference. Amen.